You're listening to a podcast from 702.
With an equally important conversation, our children in South Africa are traumatized and we are seeing an increasing number of mental health disorders. Operations Director at SADC, which is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, Cassie Chambers, joins me on the line now. Cassie, a very good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me.
Given the challenges that we are facing right now, South Africa continues to be generally a violent country with high crime and violent rates. Children are witnessing trauma and loss because of COVID-19 pandemic. There are consequences to their parents, of course, being unemployed, and that has an impact on their home. The fallout of recent looting and insurrection in July of this year, and certainly the amount of uncertainty that surrounds their future as far as schooling is concerned. Those are just some of the contributing factors to seeing the high numbers of children reporting mental health disorders.
Absolutely, Africa. I think when you're taking all of those different things happening, even as an adult, we would be overwhelmed. We would be finding an impact on our own mental health. And I think especially for children, where we often underestimate what they're exposed to, how they're processing everything. We really are seeing an impact and we are concerned. You know, we're getting a lot of parents that are reaching out to SADC, a lot of teachers. When we're going into schools and engaging with teenagers and children, they really are sharing a lot of their own personal distress, ways that they're trying to find coping. And because many of them feel like they can't talk to anyone or don't know what to say or what to do, they really are not coping. And we've seen some really worrying cases, even some in the press lately. But I think especially for children, these are incredibly difficult times.
How can we help them as parents, as caregivers? What do we need to look out for, Cassie, before we go, wait a minute, perhaps we need to find you somebody to speak to?
Absolutely. And I think for parents, again, it's to take that step back and we've all battled to navigate the last 18 months, never mind what happened before COVID. And I think it's just about really finding ways to connect and check in with your child, no matter what age they are, small, primary school going age, high school, teenagers. It's really doing a check-in. So having open conversations where you're checking in, how are you doing? How are you coping? How are you feeling? Instead of just saying, are you okay? Let's move on. So I think really just checking in. A lot of our smaller children are needing a lot more reassurance. So this is more tactile, more hugs, more talking, you're okay, you're safe, you're home, lots more love. So really doing that kind of check-in with our smaller type children, having those open conversations. Smaller children who are just as exposed to the trauma and everything going around us but don't have the language, you can't ask them, how are you coping? How are you feeling? But you can get on the floor and play with them. That is their safe space for them to open up and give you insight as to what you're thinking. I think, you know, from some of the calls that we've been receiving at SADC and the school talks that we've engaged in, one of the common themes is a lot of our children feel like whenever they start to speak to a parent, they often get told to, you know, snap out of it or just get over it. And we really like to urge for parents to ask those open-ended questions. How are you doing? Tell me what it feels like for you. Tell me what you're struggling with today. So I think for parents, knowing the warning signs, what to look out for is important. Connecting with your child and having a conversation. And if you start to see that there's an impact in their daily functioning, issues happening at school, physical behavior changes, then it's time to reach out, and whether you speak to the school or your GP or SADC, just speak to someone to get some help.
And it is difficult what I'm about to say, but we actually need to give our children 100% of our attention, certainly at that time, particularly when you are asking these open-ended questions, where you are trying to get a sense of where they are emotionally and otherwise in response to the challenges that they are facing. And I say it's difficult because we are under an increasing amount of pressure, as many more of us are working from home generally, and therefore there's an expectation of output, even at hours, quite frankly, that are normally dedicated towards family time.
Absolutely. You know, our family time now with everyone working from home, school, navigating, you know, your office, your classroom, your home life is all happening in the same four walls. I think it's really about as a family to do that kind of reevaluation of family time. It's not about quantity of family time, but this quality. So around dinner, staying for half an hour, no phone, no TV, no music, and really just connecting and checking in. And it's hard, you know, as parents to multitask and juggle a million different things, making dinner, doing homework, answering that email, attending to that meeting. It's really just about saying, hey, this is really important. Let's have a real conversation.
Indeed. It might actually be slightly easier, is it not, for certainly small children and toddlers and preteens for us to be able to pick up, wait a minute, there is a change in behavior. Let me focus on that and pay attention to it. If you are parenting an adolescent who already is going through a change, I suppose, in the way they express the emotion, that notion of, you know, one is going to be moody today because it's a Monday and they're a teenager, therefore they can do it. It becomes slightly more difficult to try and then extract that kind of information that might indicate that, you know, my child is you know, in a heightened sense of, I don't know, anxiety, if you like, that there might actually even be a mental health disorder as a result of the pressures that they're under.
Absolutely. And I think this is, again, where we always think mental health is only this emotional side. It's that well-being. But there's quite a lot of physical symptoms you can look out for as well. And you knowing, as a parent, knowing your teen and saying, well, this is normal teenage behavior versus this is abnormal teenager behavior and something is wrong. Let me check in. If I'm not too sure, who else can I check in with? A teacher, a friend, another family member to see if they're picking up similar things. So I think it's really looking at, well, is there a drastic change in their eating or sleeping habits? You know, it's normal for teenagers, like you say, to be grumpy or moody or withdraw from family and friends, where they don't necessarily want to have a big, deep conversation with their parents all the time. But having to check in so when they are ready to talk, that they know that they can come to talk to you. And I think checking in non-intrusive ways, you know, not having that sit down, which is awkward for parents and teenagers, but start a conversation in the car on the way to school. Start a conversation while making dinner, saying, let's go for a 5-minute walk outside, and then finding those ways to connect with your teenager. I think you should also encourage them that if they're not comfortable to open up and talk to you about their problems, that they're at least speaking to someone. So connecting them to help and care and support is also really important for parents to do, because it is a lot of pressure to have to help teenagers navigate through this. And I think those building points, those stepping points, can be really useful.
In a moment, Cassie, I'll be asking you what number, I suppose, or what portal parents can go to should they be concerned about their children's mental health. But let me take this opportunity to invite listeners to give us a call on 011-883-0702 without obviously breaking the confidence of your child. But share with us what sort of challenges is your child going through and how you've broached this subject matter and what help, if any, have you had to seek, just so that you can help a fellow parent who might be going through a similar challenge. I'd really want to find out what your experience is and how your child is really navigating what is a very, very challenging world for an adult, never mind for a child. We'll take your calls on 011-883-0702. You can WhatsApp us to 072-702-1702. So Cassie, if I'm sitting with my 7-year-old and I'm seeing, wait a minute, there's a slight change in behavior, and this conversation has triggered me into thinking there could be something wrong. What can I do?
So I think that's really important. If you've noticed that something is wrong, and again, you can start really observing and picking up, you know, then start to look at, how do I have some more quality time? How do I have more of those conversations to fact check what your child is thinking and what they've processed around them? So doing more play games with them on the ground, board games, playing with them. They feel safer, and they're able actually to communicate more in those scenarios. So that's really helpful. But also finding different ways to help your child process and digest everything, and giving them some self-help tips, saying, okay, let's do some physical activity together. You know, like with COVID, that's been taken away. So our children don't have an outlet to get rid of their frustrations, their anxiety, their fear. So finding something physical that you can do together, whether it be playing outside for a little bit, throwing the ball, going for a walk, going for a bike ride, you're doing something together, which ticks the box for family time and connection, but also doing physical activity is really important. I think also doing a check-in with regards to schoolwork. That's where a lot of the stress and anxiety might be also coming out. It might be helpful to do a touch base with the teacher. See if they're noticing anything similar in the classroom. If they've seen their marks dropping over the last couple of weeks or months, and have a conversation. Build that support team around your child and get these people involved. And I think as a parent, it makes you feel less alone, and it helps you to assess, well, is this serious enough that I need to get a mental health professional, or can we try these different tools and see if there's an improvement over a couple of days or weeks?
And of course, the sooner you can get back to some level of routine for that child, the better, right? Because it is in that routine, in those daily milestones, if you like, that they achieve, that they'll go back to some level of everything is okay now.
And I think routine is great for children and adults, especially in this world where we have so little to control, and everything is often out of our control. Routine helps us to find that structure. The things we can do, we know what to expect, and especially for smaller children, knowing what to expect, what's coming next, is really important in creating safety and that reassurance. It also helps them to make sure they have a balanced well-being, that they're waking up every morning at the same time, that they're going to bed to get enough sleep, that they have, you know, some time to do their homework in a safe, quiet space. These are things that both parents can actually plan and organize and feel like they're putting some security and boundaries in and routine. And then for the child to expect it. And again, everyone is on the same page. And I think children thrive on routine and they thrive on that. With COVID, I think it's also just really taken out all of that control. Routines have gone out the window as we try to navigate all these different changes, different levels, what we can do, what we can't do, and what that looks like now. You know, instead of having extra murals, we're all at home. Mom isn't going into the office every day. There's these different things. So a really good conversation, and this is also something to be said with your teenagers, is to sit down and say, well, let's put together a family schedule, a routine. What does it look like? What's often also really helpful is if you have that up on your fridge or somewhere where the family is around, so that everyone kind of knows, where would mom be on this day? Where's dad? What does it look like? It's a great way to kind of check in. And these things that we're mentioning probably sound quite trivial, but it makes a huge impact into the running of a family right now. Looking at what can we control? What can we do right now to gain some of that control and do things together? And that can just give us some semblance of that we can do this together. And it just helps to keep the family, you know, more connected and closer during these difficult times.
Definitely, Cassie. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Cassie Chambers is the Operations Director of SADAC. You can contact the 24-hour mental health helpline by calling the number 0800-456-789. That's 0800-456-789. Or sending a WhatsApp chat line message between 9 and 4 to the number 0768822775. We're calling this hour, of course, for your experiences. What have you noted about your children and their change in behavior? How are they being affected by the continuing pressures that we have to endure on a daily basis? And more importantly, how are you navigating that conversation? Call me now on 011-883-0702.